ගරු රවුෆ් හකීම් මන්ත්‍රීතුමා ඔබතුමාට විනාඩි 5ක කාලයක් තිබෙනවා. ඕඩර් ප්ලීස්. ඊළඟට ගරු නියෝජ්‍ය කාර්යක සභාපතිතුමිය මූලාසනට එන විට.
My turn, okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, this morning the Supreme Court issued a judgment convicting the former Commissioner General of Immigration and Emigration to 3 years imprisonment over an issue of contempt of court. This judgment was delivered following a complaint we made to the court regarding the delay by the respondents to implement an interim order that was given in the cases filed by 3 of us members of parliament, myself, former member of parliament Mr. Sumandiran, president's counsel, and Mr. Patali Champikaranawaka, challenging the new e-visa scheme which was to be implemented without following proper procurement procedures. And we pointed out to court that the country, over a period of 16 years, for which that contract was entered into with a dubious company, as a result of such a contract, the country would have lost almost $3.4 billion worth of revenue that should have been accrued to the country. The main matter is fixed for argument on the 20th of November, though this judgment was delivered only regarding the contempt issue. And this is an abject lesson for public officials who carry out the orders of their superiors without looking at the implications for them when it comes to issues of fraud. It was pointed out to court that the deliberate delay would have cost a further 800 million loss to the government by deliberately delaying to implement the interim order. And court took into consideration various matters. The accused respondent's unwillingness to express remorse for his conduct, and his delayed plea of guilt that was entered was all taken into consideration. The court had also referred to the contempt of court legislation, which doesn't provide an upper limit for any punishment. However, today court ruled that that upper limit should be fixed at 7 years rigorous imprisonment for any contempt of the Supreme Court. However, taking into consideration a variety of other matters, this respondent was found guilty and was sentenced to 3 years. And 2 years he has spent in remand prison has also been
ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා තව විනාඩියක් කාලයක් ඔබතුමාට තියෙනවා.
නෑ නෑ මම අර අනිත් මන්ත්‍රීතුමාගේ ආසිත මන්ත්‍රීතුමා කාලෙත් ගන්නවා. So this issue, I would like to point out, Madam Deputy Chairman of Committees, I had referred it in the Committee of Public Finance, chaired by Honorable Harsha De Silva. This whole episode was inquired into by the committee, led by him, and he submitted a report. And that report mentioned very clearly that the 600-page report, that report mentioned very clearly that the Auditor General must submit a forensic audit on the loss that was to be incurred to the government as a result of this dubious contract to be given to a very dubious company registered in Dubai, and therefore, and also using a company like VFS as a front to do this. I don't know why VFS got into such a very dubious contract. However, being a reputed company, they themselves have got their name also tarnished as a process. Anyway, the main matter is up for argument on the 20th of November, and we are yet to receive the forensic audit report by the Auditor General. I want to put it on record here so that he will expeditiously make it available, so that we will have it available to us petitioners to bring it to the notice of court when the matter is taken up for argument. Having said that, today we are discussing this National Building Research Institute Bill. I believe the issues relating to disaster management and variety of other issues, this particular organization, which currently exists as National Building Research Organization, is a very important, performing a very important function. It's good to bring a bill like this and make the structure much more firm, and that to provide various different stipulations relating to the institute itself. So, but I feel that you should have, because there, in the structure of the institute, they should have included some other organizations as well. The Urban Development Authority and Sri Lanka Land Reclamation Development Corporation. These are two important institutions that should have been part of this institution, as well as at least in the board. They should have been given some representation. Not only that, without just mentioning the qualifications of other members, such as engineers who are well-versed in matters like structural engineering, as well as geological survey areas, and architects. So it would have been better, rather than leaving it to the minister to decide on whom to appoint, to have a nominee of the Architects Association of Sri Lanka, and also to have a nominee of the Engineers Association of Sri Lanka, so that those professional organizations would have picked and chosen the correct person to be nominated, rather than leaving it to the whim and fancy of successive ministers to decide on the composition of the institute. Beyond that, I would like to talk about some of the disasters that we faced recently, particularly the frequent floods that we experienced in Akurana area. And we had requested the district development committee to try and involve this Sri Lanka Land Reclamation Development Corporation to address that particular issue. But so far, no concrete decision has been made except to take action against unauthorized structures that are causing the flooding of the Akurana town. And we are now facing the monsoon season towards the end of the year. Once again, there is a danger of Akurana town flooding if action is not taken expeditiously, particularly to involve an important specialist organization like Sri Lanka Land Reclamation and Development Corporation, who had already submitted a feasibility report. I would like to mention that here, because it's of urgent necessity to attend to have a scientific approach to contain the frequent flooding that is taking place in the Akurana area. The other issue is concerning several school buildings have been damaged due to landslides in the central province. Of course, Mr. Samantha Vidyaratna, the minister, pointed out about Badulla district and school buildings being damaged. There are more than 50 to 60 buildings in the Kandy district alone which have been rendered unusable because of landslide threats. So those buildings had to be replaced. I would like to request this institute to submit a report so that the Education Ministry can provide the sufficient funds to do that. And similarly, I would like to also point out about the increase in number of skyscrapers we see in Colombo and suburbs today. Several very tall apartment buildings and other buildings are coming up. But the capacity of the Colombo Municipal Council for firefighting is lacking. I don't
Garu
think
Mantituma, with, building,
yes, with buildings going up to almost 50 floors, 40 floors, whether if there is a sudden fire in some of the higher floors, whether the Colombo Municipal Council has the firefighting capacity is a very serious issue that has to be addressed, and I would like the government to pay attention to this and try and make sure, since that the government is now controlling the Colombo Municipal Council, immediate action must be taken to have sufficient cranes which can reach up to 40, 50 floors to contain a sudden fire erupting in one of these high-rise buildings in the Colombo and suburban areas. And that's another matter regarding disaster management, which also comes under the purview, perhaps to a certain extent, under this particular institute, should be looked into. Having said that, I congratulate the government for having brought this bill and conclude my remarks. Thank you.